from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it's 6 o'clock. I think we could be the night, right?
Hey, Daryl.
Well, it's been the night for me pretty much the whole week, so.
Yeah.
What's
you
up,
got,
buddy?
You've been sick all week, man. You feeling better?
Okay. I haven't had my backside kicked this bad since I was in third grade.
Daryl, they're in Seattle. Ken's in Seattle. He's going to eat crickets tonight at the baseball game. When you went to Seattle, what was the best thing you did?
The pier. There are so many great spots down there, but the pier is amazing. I ate at 3 different restaurants down on the pier. I'm kind of seafood sensitive, which means I'm very picky. And I had seafood each and every day I was there, and it was fantastic.
Okay, good to hear.
And the views, the scenery out there is just beyond incredible.
Go on.
Yeah, I agree with you, Daryl. I've only been there once, but
I like the mountains.
It's mountains. It's water. It's
everything.
Everything's green because it rains a lot. But I mean, it's just beautiful. The ocean.
As I tell my sister, if it weren't for the rain, I think a lot of people would be happy living here. The rain kind of takes away a little, but I guess it's been raining out there, and this is not the rainy season. Like, this is supposed to be like it is in September for us here, where it's, you know, sunny and 70, 75 degrees, but I guess it's been raining out there, so.
You ever watch Frasier?
I watched a couple episodes. That's not a series I got into, to be honest with you.
Okay. They're radio stations.
Kelsey Grammer's best work was in Down Periscope.
Oh, I never even saw that. What was that?
You've never seen Down Periscope?
Oh, no.
Years ago.
You got to put that on the list.
Is it really that good, or is it one of those that maybe didn't hang the way we thought it would?
It's my kind of comedy. It's stupid comedy. So I thoroughly enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, I'll watch this one. I like Kelsey Grammer. I've always liked Kelsey Grammer. I'll watch this one. 1996. That's like right in Kelsey Grammer's wheelhouse. Yeah, I'll watch that one. Okay. Yeah. What did it get on Rotten Tomatoes? It got 11%. I didn't even know they went to 11. What? 11% on Rotten Tomatoes? That means it's got to be the worst movie ever made. Daryl.
Don't worry about those numbers.
I thought if you got a bad review on Rotten Tomatoes, that meant it was good.
I sort of agree with that.
That's you guys, what? What bizarre world take is that?
No, isn't like Rotten Tomatoes they just dump on everything that's good?
Most
and tell
stupid,
you how terrible
dumb
it is?
Comedies that become like cult classics initially have terrible reviews.
Yeah.
You guys
that's
are gaslighting me right
that's
now.
That's a fact. We're not gaslighting
you guys are gaslighting
anything.
Me
what are you
right
talking
now?
About?
No, they're 100% correct.
How's it feel when people
team up
on you?
Down is up. Up is down. I know you guys are giving me information. Listen,
you honestly just didn't know.
I respect everybody that has inputted their voice here, and so I wanna learn. I wanna get better and smarter and everything else in between. And so if you're telling me that down is up in Rotten Tomatoes and up is down, then I guess I gotta believe it. I like Kelsey Grammer enough. I was gonna give it a go anyway. I mean, I'm fine with that. I never understood how they programmed the radio station in Frasier. Like, they had a cooking show, they had a sports show, they had a sports, they had a psychiatry show. That's what his show was. Never made sense to me. It was all over the place. And then your radio guy, both of you guys are radio guys. From a programming standpoint, KACL was off the charts. It was mad. It would never get ratings in today's world.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It was the equivalent of like college radio programming, right? Because college radio stations are all over the place. There's no set real format for the station.
Yeah, but Frasier lived like a bougie lifestyle based off his big radio show that he had.
Yeah.
It was a real radio station. They won awards. They used to talk about winning like Marconis and stuff like that.
I just don't have any hot takes on fictional radio.
I do. You. I got all sorts of hot takes on fictional radio. All right, let's talk real life. Is Deshaun playing Saturday? There was a sneak attack. I went from Rotten Tomatoes to Deshaun really quickly on you.
I don't know if Kevin Stefanski knows. Well, I got to think that they're off the plane in Seattle that Kevin now knows, but as they were making the trip out there, I think that they're – he certainly opened the door not to play him. Either because of the arm being sore or because left tackle is a turnstile right now and you don't want to put the $46 million investment out there. But my thing is I would play him. If he's physically able to go, I would play him because I think Deshaun needs the work. He needs the reps. So if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm putting him out there for a couple of series.
What are you looking for in particular on Saturday?
That if Deshaun plays, he doesn't get killed, number one. Number two, the offense operates smoothly. Hate to steal a Stefanskiism there, but I'm going to because I think that that's, you know, important. No pre-snap problems, guys lining up correctly, protection being good. And then I just kind of really want to see him move the football, you know, pick up some first downs, you know, put some points on the board. But I just want to see a clean operation. I don't want to see three and outs. Don't want to see off-target passes. Don't want to see Deshaun running for his life. So that's what I'll be looking for tomorrow if Deshaun's able to go.
Do we expect anything from Jameis, or do we give him the same grace that it's a Fetty on the left side and we should just kind of let that be?
Look, Jameis, is, no matter what happens tomorrow, right, Deshaun's the number one, Jameis is the number two, right? That's set in stone. Really, the only question in that room is, who's number three? Is it going to be Dorian Thompson-Robinson, or is it going to be Tyler Huntley, right? You know, obviously, Zach Jackson reported earlier this week, Browns have been shopping DTR a little bit here to see if there's any interest out there. You know, you had Andrew Berry this week turn Cade York into a future seventh-round pick. I don't know how he did it, but he was able to do that. You know, that's really the only question in that quarterback room as far as playing time and stuff like that. Jameis is who he is, right? He's going to throw 30 interceptions and he's going to throw 30 touchdowns. Like, that's just what he is as a quarterback. I don't know if he needs any grace or anything like that, Jonathan, but, I mean, he's just a known quantity to me at this point.
Darryl, something we brought up earlier is, you know, Kevin Stefanski, and this is not really relevant for, like, today, but I'm still going to ask you because we had the conversation earlier. A lot of outsiders, national folks, think that, like, Stefanski could potentially be on the hot seat, even though he's a two-time coach of the year.
We played a clip from Kyle Brandt earlier.
Yeah, Kyle Brandt was on the
Bill Simmons
podcast. Yeah. And I don't think there's anything Kevin Stefanski can do that would, you know, earn him a seat on the bench, so to speak. You know, like, I think he's here no matter what the following year. What do you think? Am I off base?
I never say never when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, Dustin, because thought the same thing when Phil Savage and Romeo Crennel were extended, and then they were fired the conclusion of the very next season because everything that could go wrong did go wrong. You know, Mike Vrabel is in the building, right? And Mike Vrabel is, at least in my estimation, I think he's one of the best coaches in the NFL, and I'm shocked that he did not get another head coaching opportunity. But, this past hiring cycle. But good news for the Browns is they basically have a second head coach who's a consultant, and just watching him throughout training camp and even the offseason, it's been a joy. He looks like he's having fun out there watching, especially the one-on-one work that he's been doing with the tight ends, especially David Njoku, has been a lot of fun to watch, and I'm expecting Njoku to have a really big monster year if he's able to stay healthy. I don't go into the season with that top of mind, Dustin, that Stefanski is on any hot seat, not by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, things can change. You never know what could happen this season. And again, the Browns are the Browns, and unpredictable stuff happens. But like right now, I don't feel like that Kevin Stefanski is coaching for his job, especially considering he just did get that contract extension.
Mary Kay reported earlier today, you know, we saw obviously Denzel with the fifth concussion and everything, but she said earlier today, says he's going to be ready for the opener, and he wants to play. He will be playing. Does that come as any sort of surprise to you that Denzel would would, you know, I don't know how much faith the Browns have in Denzel now moving forward, or optimism that he'll be able to, you know, play the entire season or anything else like that. But it's a scary situation, Daryl. There's no doubt about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, and what is concerning to me, I'm going to set aside the volume of reported concussions or semi-known concussions or whatever. I think it's 5 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
For him in his young NFL career. That doesn't include anything that he suffered in college. It doesn't include anything he suffered in high school. It is a concern, but they have these guys wearing the guardian caps during practice now, and basically it's the whole team with the exception of the quarterback, and the reason the quarterback doesn't because the quarterback isn't touched. But pretty much the entire team is outfitted in these guardian caps now. It's no longer just a couple of positions here and there, you know, offensive linemen or the tight ends, or, you know, things like that. And we're seeing guys get these concussions still. And in non-contact practices for the most part, right? I mean, there's no live tackling to the ground, thudding up. I think it was Cameron Justice from Channel 5 who posted the video of the play with him and Elijah Moore that may have caused that most recent concussion. And you could see the helmets, you know, bang together. And, you know, he obviously gets up slowly. But, like, the hit itself did not appear all that violent. The collision and things like that. So I'm starting to question the effectiveness of these guardian caps, too, because the whole point of them wearing these in these practices and camps and stuff like that is to prevent this stuff from happening. But look, when Denzel's healthy, he is one of the best cornerbacks in the game. In my view, he's top 5, maybe top 3. He's good for anywhere from 12 to 14 games per year. And I'll take that, and then, you know, obviously you hope he's healthy if you're playing in the playoffs. But he is an elite player at his position. And to me, the only thing that's going to hold his career back are these concussions he's been suffering.
All right, Daryl, I want to hit you with a nitty-gritty football question, okay? So I apologize.
Oh,
I apologize,
okay, yeah,
in
sure,
advance.
Yep.
I do. I apologize.
Missing grits.
Siaka Ika. Is he going to make the team?
It's going to be tight. That is, I would say defensive tackle is the most competitive position on this roster right now. They have a lot of depth there and talent there. Obviously, Shelby and Dalvin, those are your starters. You got Quentin Jefferson in there, Mo Hurst in there. They're high on a talent perspective on Mike Hall Jr. Sam Kamara's in there. So I think there's a real chance he could be a casualty, but a candidate to get through waivers and onto the practice squad.
All right, Darrell, I want to ask you something completely away from the Browns, but it's something that I think you'll have a take on, being somebody that has covered not only Cleveland sports, but you've been in the sports arena for how many years have you been a beat reporter?
It's been a while.
I mean, you've
been a few decades.
You got the credentials is the point. It's our insider, Daryl Ryder, on Shop and Jewel, or brought to you by Shop and Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Colorado today came out and they said they won't take questions from a journalist who was critical of Deion Sanders. So they've cut off any questions and they basically have muzzled this journalist because he wrote critical commentaries around Deion Sanders. I feel like that's something's broke if that's happening, right?
Yeah. As long as the commentary is not personal, an attack of a personal nature, that's what we do. Thankfully the Browns don't operate that way, or else I would not be letting the building. I kind of have a problem with that. That's not how this is supposed to work. If you're going to have that kind of a job as a head coach, I grew up. Deion Sanders was one of my favorite players growing up. I just was in awe that he could play, him and Bo Jackson could play football as well as Major League Baseball. I just was in awe of that. But you got to have some thicker skin. If you're going to be a head coach at a D1 program like Colorado, you're going to get criticism. That comes with the job. And let's be honest about it, it's not like Colorado is competing for national championships every year and they're an elite program, right? They, if I remember correctly, last year they started off hot and then just everything went downhill from there.
Yeah, won the first three games and then it was right. Just absolutely
everyone sad. Jumped on the bandwagon, right? And then just it all fell apart from there. So, yeah, as long as the criticism is not of a personal attacking nature, then that's, you know, that's part and parcel. And not only as a coach.
The staffer that the information staffer that was like quoted in the article says that this guy used phrases such as false prophet, deposition Dion, Planet Prime, and then called him the Bruce Lee of BS. That's enough to be blocked. Is that enough? Is that too far?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Those didn't seem bad at all. Was that substantiated with evidence, right? Did the guy list
all
columns.
The... Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, did he list all the misdeeds that leads to the... I mean, yeah, I mean...
Get if this guy a radio show. I mean, jeez.
Yeah. As long as you're backing up your argument with fact, I don't know, you know, what the issue is. I don't know. Be a better coach, run a better program.
Thank you, Daryl. Have a good weekend.
You too, guys.
Daryl, I'll call you later, buddy.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns insider, says he thinks that Deshaun Watson won't play, and I think it's kind of interesting that we have made it all the way throughout the week, Dustin, and it seems like nobody's able to come to a conclusion, and it's just going to be one of those things that Stefanski will probably say at the like a game-time decision. But at that point, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Like, are people going to – if you know Deshaun is playing ahead of time, you're going to want to tune in. If you have to wait until 9:55 at night to find out if he does or doesn't play, you might just skip the whole entire thing.
Which is what I'll do most likely on Saturday. Although it is on NFL Network, I believe. I'm out of state, so.
Oh, there we go.
Someone sent me a tweet about
that. What
time's
your high school game?
It's Sunday at 1.
Oh, Sunday at 1. Okay, so you're just you got all Saturday night.
I don't got to be at the stadium till like 10:30.
You know, like go out and paint the town red in Chattanooga. Is that such a is that a thing? I don't even know.
It's a really beautiful town.
I'm sure it's beautiful. I just don't know.
I've not been, but I've seen pictures, and like there's a river right by the stadium. Stadium's like on the water.
Yeah, I mean, Bismarck
this high,
is also
this high
beautiful
school is
too.
Ridiculous.
But Boise's beautiful too. It doesn't mean it's like a thriving, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know that they're, I don't know, maybe Chattanooga's awesome. I bet there's some great country bars in Chattanooga.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, like the best country bars.
I mean, it's not Nashville.
No, but it's knocking on Nashville's doorstep. Like, you're not going to have a Broadway or anything like
Knoxville.
That.
Knoxville, I'm sure it's similar to that.
Yeah, okay. Knoxville's kind of fun.
Knoxville's awesome.
You got all your prep for the high school game ready?
Dude, it's hard, man. There's not a lot of information on these players.
You were telling me with the depth charts and everything.
We had a call, though, with, like hour with each coach. Huge. We had like nothing going into the game. And then, you know, I got now 5 pages of notes I typed.
And now you're like an expert on both high school teams?
No, far from it.
Oh, okay.
But parachuting in, I can make it. I can get through the game.
You know what you need in order to make it through the game. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, high school games are... You just call a game. I mean, it's not like you have tons of game notes and player bios and stories. I mean, it's just more difficult.
When you're doing a high school game, are you like cognizant of the fact that like every parent of that kid is watching that game and it's like the biggest moment that they're ever going to like, this is it. This is, you know what I mean? Like their kid's name. I would throw random kids' names in just so that they got a mention on the broadcast.
So 1,000% aware
that's cool.
Of the parents, you know, watching the game and how big it is. Those kids will record it and probably have it when they're 40 years old.
It's the coolest moment in a lot of those kids' lives up until that point.
Absolutely.
Like by a wide margin. And so many of them just want their name to be mentioned. You know, you just throw some random names in there. You know, as the game gets moving on, be like, hey, that Jack Sawyer really has done a great job here tonight. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, just throw it in there. And Jack Sawyer will be talking about that at the Chattanooga bars for like 40 years from now. It'll be great. 216-474-0092. Tommy up next on the Fan. What's up, Tommy?
Hello, my friend. Listen.
Hey, Tommy.
It's not Stefanski's fault. Nothing's Stefanski's fault. He's got the top five defense in the NFL. This is on the offensive coordinator. Can Watson handle this offensive coordinator?
Tommy? Oh, no. We lost Tommy. Okay. All right. I think he was going to breed optimism, but I'm not entirely sure. He was saying this wasn't on Stefanski. It's all on Watson. I don't know if that's the most optimistic thing I've ever heard. I think it's interesting that somebody would be trying to twist it. And like if this goes sideways, are the bulk of people involved going to just blame Deshaun Watson and say Stefanski got a bad draw and it was what it was? And I'm like looking at your hand of 2-7 and you're like, I'm just not winning this hand. Doyle Brunson isn't winning this hand more times than not, although I think 2-7 offsuit was his favorite hand in poker. Is that what this is? Are we just going to turn this around where at the end of the season, if Deshaun isn't great, Stefanski takes no liability of it all? Because that's kind of what it felt like Tommy was getting after there, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of felt like he's getting ready to wash his hands clean of it all. And if that is the case, then the audio we played from Kyle Brandt and all the national pundits, they're going to end up looking like fools. If that's the case, I feel like they think that everyone's going to take like a shared accountability of this whole thing. If it goes great, if it goes bad. But the way I read this right now, it doesn't feel that way to me. It feels like if this goes great and we have a Super Bowl parade, then guess what? Stefanski will be right there and he'll get praise. Barry will be right there and he'll get praise. Haslam will get praise. Deshaun will get praise. But if it goes bad, this feels like to me, I feel like Deshaun's going to be the one that takes like 98% of the blame pie.
Most likely.
And I mean, I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's unfair. But getting the vibe from a lot of the fans and a lot of the people that we talk to every day, it feels like that's kind of what this is all set up to look like. And if that's the case, then it doesn't matter that Stefanski would be entering year six with one playoff win. Stefanski will be here for a long time. And Stefanski will be able to ride this out. Because, again, he won't be crucified for what happens with Deshaun. It'll just be looked at like, okay, you weren't winning with him. Nobody was winning with him. Hey, man, having Joe Flacco in his back pocket is a really big thing for Stefanski. I'm sure he realizes that. But that was a really big moment for Stefanski to kind of show his chops in many sort of ways. Because Jacoby Brissett, I thought, was him showing his chops. But not enough people recognize that. Diana Rossini was on Dan Patrick's show and talked about the Browns. She's been visiting camp. She's been going all around. And I think in hearing her talk, I think this is part of the reason why preseason football has kind of sucked for us Browns fans so far. Here's Diana Rossini.
When's the last time you were at a training camp and you go, oh boy, this isn't going to be a good season?
Last week.
Should we guess the team? I'm going to go Minnesota.
Great guess, and I know why you did that. Because you were thinking the day the J.J. McCarthy news comes out, maybe everyone was a little unfocused, maybe they were all off a bit. Great guess. It was the team that they were practicing against that day, actually, and it was the Cleveland Browns. And I just happened to be there on a day that the offense was just off. The offensive line didn't look as sharp as I was expecting them to. Deshaun didn't look like he had a lot of presence out there. Now, I'm going to add, I then returned and it was different. But to your question of, do you ever show up? I'm not a believer in, oh, every camp is so great and everyone is optimistic. Yes, people are happy. People are excited because everyone has the same record right now and everyone believes that they're going to be the best team. But the value of these joint practices has helped really sort of burst a lot of bubbles.
I think that's why the preseason has sucked, Dustin. The joint practices, what's supposed to matter the most, all the reports that came out were the Browns weren't great in that. And all preseason long, all we've had is reports about the Browns not having a great preseason. I mean, how many people have you heard walk away from any day be like, Deshaun Watson was awesome today? We just don't get it. We haven't gotten it. Preseason's supposed to be about hope. It's supposed to be about optimism. And we haven't even gotten that in the previous month. So I get why preseason football has kind of sucked for a lot of fans right now.
It's a tough time.
I mean, that's tough words.
And by the way, they've got rid of a game, so it's better. It still sucks.
Yeah, I mean, most of them I wouldn't watch if they were played in my backyard. Like, I just don't want to. I don't want to see them. I don't want to really take them in. But those words from Diana Rossini, Dustin, like that's a tough look for the Browns
for sure.
And we've been just hit with jab after jab after jab for like 30 days.
I know that she has great relationships with the Browns front office and the coaches. I think she's just being honest about what she saw. And I heard it from Zach and some other people that were there.
Matthew Collar, when I had him on as well, like all these people that were at those joint practices. But it's been a month of injury after different report that the offense isn't looking one way or another. It's been a month of that. And so I get it. If you're a Browns fan out there and you're like, I don't love preseason football right now, usually we find ways for optimism in the preseason, and it feels like it's been a month of just hitting ourselves upside the head.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.